thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
This morning, we're talking about, again, the Word of God, a series that we've been doing. The Word of God is like a seed. But I want to also this morning focus very particularly on a prayer, really, for us. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. The absolute necessity of an open heart. Open the eyes of our heart. When we hear the word spoken, when we hear the word read, when we read the word, the absolute necessity of having an open heart. Not just an open mind, but an open heart. So this morning, we are going to talk about the Word of God as seed, and we're going to read that very well-known parable that Jesus told about the farmer sowing his seed. But this topic, this sermon, is going to be in two halves. Otherwise, we'd have been here to about 2 o'clock today, which wouldn't be happy for anybody. So it's going to take us 2 weeks. I just felt there was too much to cover. And today, I don't think, I've got extra notes with me, but I don't think we're going to move into talking about the parable itself, because I felt there was so much before the parable itself, or in between the telling and the explanation, that I wanted to draw your attention to. So that's what the aim is this morning. We're going to look at Matthew. This parable is told in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but we're going to look at Matthew's gospel this morning. So Matthew 13, and we're going to read 1 to 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, so this is the first parable he told them, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, these are the key bits I want you to look at this morning and really think about. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then, this is to the disciples only, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, The evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is a seed that was sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky ground, rocky places, is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Parables were a common way of teaching in the first century. Jewish leaders often used parables to teach the people. And they always included, always, an interpretation or an explanation of the parable for the people. We all know what a parable is, don't we? I was taught, probably the same as you, that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's a story about a familiar thing that we can all relate to and understand, and it has a moral or a spiritual truth. Like the story of the lost sheep, we all understand. Sheep go away, they run away, they get lost. The shepherd, the good shepherd, goes after the sheep. I understood, and maybe I got the wrong end of the stick, but I understood that Jesus told parables, simple stories about ordinary things to help ordinary people understand a particular spiritual truth. Is that what you think or thought? Or did I just get that end of the stick? Is that more or less what everybody thinks? Nod or shake your head. You're scared. You're non-committal this morning. The word parable actually means to throw alongside. It is a comparison. It is a known truth put alongside an unknown truth or a hidden truth. But when Jesus told parables, the spiritual truth was not always seen or understood by the hearers. And here's the thing. Jesus didn't always give an explanation or an interpretation of the parable to the people. He didn't always draw out its hidden meaning. So many of the people who heard Jesus' parables didn't actually know what he was talking about. They just heard the story, and he left it up to them to discern the truth and to respond to it. This parable that we've just read this morning is a case in point. Jesus did not explain the parable of the sower to the crowds of people. So why then did Jesus speak in parables if he wasn't going to provide an explanation of it? This is the first time in Matthew's gospel that Jesus has taught in parables. He's teaching the people, and the disciples wanted to know, Jesus, why are you teaching the people in parables? Why are you using this method without giving the explanation? They asked him. Jesus' answer to that question was this: the knowledge of the secrets or mysteries or hidden truths of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, small group of disciples, but not to them, the big crowd of people, Matthew 13:11. Now later on, just beyond where we read this morning, Matthew 13:35, Jesus used a verse from Psalm 78, verse 2, to explain that he was using parables to tell them things that had been hidden from the creation of the world. Paul also speaks about this in Colossians 1:26. He talks about the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. So, Jesus used some of his parables to give insight into the plans of God that not even the Old Testament prophets knew about. These really were the secrets or the mysteries, the hidden truths of God's kingdom that were being revealed for the very first time. We'll read again, verse 13. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You'll be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused, hard. They hardly hear with their ears. And listen to this. And they have, personal responsibility, they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Then he turned to the disciples and said, but blessed are you, because you see and hear. Friends, this morning, we are blessed to be able to see and hear the word of God. We are blessed to have the secrets, the mysteries of the kingdom of God open to us. But listen, you need to have an open heart to receive them. You need to open purposely, consciously, open up your heart by the power of the Spirit working in you to receive the mysteries and the secrets of the kingdom. Is your heart open today? Are you wanting to hear? Do you want to see? You need to have an open heart. This parable, the farmer went out to sow the seed. Look, clarifies the seed is the word of God. This parable is specifically related to those people who have heard the word of the gospel, and it's showing the different responses people made to that word. And after Jesus told the parable, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." As we look this morning, it's important to understand, and that's why I'm doing this in two halves, what has been happening just before this. Jesus, from his baptism by John in the Jordan River, Jesus has been preaching and teaching the kingdom of God. We all know that. But in Jesus' preaching and teaching, there was a very sharp division in people's responses to Jesus. It's important to understand the context of what we're talking about this morning arises out of the sharp division in responses to Jesus. Matthew makes the link. He starts off this chapter, Matthew 13, 1, that same day. Jesus has been opposed. The leaders have accused him of doing his work by the power of the devil, casting out demons by the power of the devil. So this explanation by Jesus of why preaching the word of God brings such radically different responses from different people. That's why it remains a key parable for us today, to understand that even today, when the word of God is preached, there are still radically different responses to the word of God. I'm not just talking about the gospel, but that does bring those radically different responses. But even in any given church, on any given Sunday, when the word of God is preached, there are radically different responses. You come here, most of you come here every week. How do you respond to the word of God? I always think it's a wee bit, feels a wee bit awkward in some ways for a preacher to say this, in some ways. But it's not about the preacher. It's not about the preacher. It's not about the style. It's about the word of God. When you leave here on a Sunday, do you give second thought even to what has been preached? If you don't, that is your response to the word of God. I feel emotional even saying that because it's a huge challenge. Friends, when we come on a Sunday morning, a Sunday evening, any time, we preach the word. When in your home, you read the word. If you don't give it second thought, that is your response to the word of God. Does that reveal a calloused heart? Does it reveal a heart that is closed, eyes that are closed, ears that are closed? I venture to say this morning, it does. It does. When we hear it preached, when we read it ourselves, do we allow it to soak into us? Do we think about it? Do we grapple with its application to our lives? Do we struggle with it? Do we, sometimes we can't get our mind around it and we're thinking about it and we're maybe challenged about something in our lives and we're wrestling with God over it? That reveals eyes that are open, ears that are open, a heart that is open. It may not always sit well with us. It may be a struggle for us, but we're wrestling with it. We're grappling with it. We're receiving it. Friends, this morning, I plead with you. That's why I didn't just move in this morning to preaching on this well-known parable of the seed as the word of God, because we all know it. And the danger of us all knowing it is we think about the rocky soil and we are the rocky or the hard path and we just think that's not me because I'm a Christian. We just think that. Friends, it can be us. We can choose to open our hearts or harden our hearts. And Jesus preached this gospel to explain, or this parable, he told this parable to explain why the word of God brings such radically different responses from different people. For hundreds and hundreds of years, the Jews had been longing for the Messiah, Christ, God's anointed deliverer. The prophets had spoken of his coming. He would descend from the royal line of David. He'd be born in Bethlehem. He would be the king of his people, the Jews. Now, as you can imagine, and if you know any history, there was a lot of speculation about what this Messiah would be like, what he would do, how he would exercise his power and authority as king of the Jews, how he would set up his earthly kingdom in Jerusalem. And all the nations would flock there. It was all centered there. That was what they believed. His military power, his political power would ensure freedom. Oppression of Rome, they'd be freed from it. That was the expectation for those first disciples who believed that Jesus was the Messiah. The first ones believed through the testimony of John the Baptist. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They went, they got others. They said, we found the Christ. We found him. Yet, even for them, it was still a steep learning curve to grasp. What kind of a king is he? And what kind of a kingdom is he establishing? Because the way in which God was establishing his rule on the earth in Jesus, well, it didn't seem to fit the image that they had been taught to expect. Jesus was gentle and humble. Didn't seem like military might or political power. He was poor. He loved to spend time with the common people. And they couldn't understand. This is what the early disciples were struggling with. They couldn't understand why there was so much opposition to him. Well, they didn't expect the Gentiles to believe in him, but the fiercest opposition was coming from his own people, the Jews. Why on earth did the Jewish teachers of the law, schooled in the Old Testament, schooled in the scriptures, why did they not recognize Jesus as the Messiah? The disciples couldn't understand it. They knew the leaders hated him and wanted to kill him. Even ordinary people, crowds of them, they followed, and then the teaching got hard and they turned away and deserted to Jesus. Yet the disciples continued to believe. They continued to believe he is the one. And yet they couldn't comprehend what kind of a kingdom he's establishing, because it didn't seem to be too successful. Now, in some ways, we're 2,000 years on from their experience, and we are in a better position. We are looking back. But we too need to be reminded from time to time of the real nature of the kingdom of God. It is a spiritual kingdom. It is a kingdom that has been established by the servant king, the king who gave his life on a cross for his enemies. It is a kingdom that is entered into by a spiritual new birth. It is not a kingdom centered on a geographical location, but it's a kingdom that grows in human hearts as they respond to Jesus. Today, as then, the kingdom of God is spiritually discerned, not understandable to the human mind. The way that God works is still a complete mystery to unbelievers, those who are not in the kingdom. And although we don't understand everything, our eyes have been open. God is still working in his world. God is still working to bring all his plans to completion at the end of the ages when the kingdom reaches its consummation. Now, this is really important. This era between the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus, basically the age we're living in now, 2,000 and odd years, that era was not made clear in the Old Testament. It was one of the mysteries of the kingdom that Jesus taught his disciples. It was, I think still is, a significant misunderstanding, even among Christians, about the nature of the kingdom of God. There are people even today, Christians, who mix up what is going to happen after the consummation and what's happening now. For instance, sorrow, pain, sickness, death, decay, all that we see around us. Some Christians get themselves in a tangle and they think all of that should be happening now. We live in what the theologians call the tension between the already and the not yet. The kingdom of God came in Jesus Christ, but it will not reach its fullness or its consummation until he comes again to reign in power and glory. Friends, we were singing about that today. That, seriously, apart from singing about Jesus' death, that is my next favorite theme to sing about. The coming again of Christ. Do we not groan with creation, waiting for our Lord and Savior to appear? As we sang this morning, when the dark skies, when the sun bursts through, when he comes on the clouds of glory, hallelujah. Friends, the kingdom of God, don't just think, oh, that's just something and nothing. It's everything. It's everything. And it is so important we understand it, that there is a coming day, A full, final consummation of the kingdom, when there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and Jesus Christ will reign as Lord and King over all. Hallelujah. Jesus taught us to pray, though. Your kingdom come, didn't they? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is he just asking us to pray for his second coming? I think that's part of it, but it's not all of it. It is right that we pray your kingdom come. What's he talking about? Saying, Lord, may your kingdom rule in my life. May your kingdom rule in our land. May we see the inroads of your kingdom, Lord. May we see your kingdom, your kingship come around us. Do you know where it starts? It starts in your heart and it starts in my heart. That's where it starts. And this is what the earliest disciples struggled with. Because they were thinking this big, powerful, military, political kingdom centered in geographical location in Jerusalem. Even after the resurrection, they were asking about it. Jesus is like, no. It's my rule. That's what kingdom is. It's about rule and reign. My rule in your heart. Is he ruling in your heart? Is he ruling in your heart? Are you a kingdom person? Is he reigning? Does he have authority and control over your life? That's what the kingdom's about. The kingdom is about a king on his throne. This is the secret of the kingdom, and it's unfolding in this period between his going back to heaven and his reappearing on the earth. It's about how people respond to the word of God. When you became a Christian, if you became a Christian as an adult, did you wonder, why did I not see this before? Many people wonder. Here's the answer. Your eyes weren't opened. Your ears weren't opened. But as soon as your eyes were opened and your ears were opened, you saw the truth of the kingdom. Friends, on this, I want to press in again on this morning. It's not just something that happens once. It's a process. Paul prays. He asks that their love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. The parable of the sower needs to be applied to us as Christians. Because it's not just about having my eyes and ears opened once, but about them remaining opened so that my knowledge or my love of God may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. You're sitting here this morning, if you're a real believer, surely you want to be a Christian and your heart to be good soil. Do you not? Good soil for the word to be planted in you. Do you know what that requires? Continual receptivity to the word of God. In the Old Testament, the prophets, the characters, they longed to see, and Jesus said that here, they longed to see what Jesus was revealing to the disciples. But it wasn't revealed to them. But it has been revealed to us. We are looking back from the vantage point of what God foretold. We are able to put the pieces together and see the amazing plan of salvation unfolding in Jesus Christ. That plan was completely rejected by the Jews of Jesus' day. It was nonsensical. It was utterly impossible that the Messiah would come. He would die the death of a criminal on a Roman cross. The cross is an offense. It is foolishness to those who are perishing. But friends, to us who believe this morning, what is the message of the cross? It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Jesus spoke the truth in parables at this stage in his ministry to withhold, oh unbelievable, to withhold further truth or information about himself and the kingdom of God from the crowds. Why would he do that? We might assume that Jesus would go out of his way to make things as clear as possible. But by this stage, Jesus had already been rejected by large numbers of people. If you read through Matthew 11 in particular, you see his denunciations. Even there'd been miracles done, people still rejected him. Because of their rejection, they would be unable to receive deeper, further teaching about the kingdom of God. Since the leaders, many of the people, rejected the light that they had already been given, God gave them no further light. Sometimes wonder why or how somebody could be a Christian for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and be completely immature. They're a Christian, but they're completely immature. Why is that? It's not about education. It's definitely not. Is it about somewhere along the line rejecting some truth about the kingdom? God gives no further light. It's about choosing to close your heart in some area and you stop growing. If you've stopped growing as a Christian, and you know your own heart, if you've stopped growing, try and look back. Where did I stop growing? Where did I stop growing? When's the last time I can put my finger that I was growing, I was moving on in God? What happened there? I can almost guarantee you it's when God challenged you about something in your life and you chose to ignore him. You rejected the truth. And from that further point, no light was given. Friends, this morning we need to continually be receptive to the truth. The disciples needed further teaching. These were simple, ordinary, unschooled men, but they believed. They believed. They believed in what Jesus was saying. The crowd still flocked to him, but they didn't understand what he was saying. A question the disciples may have been asking themselves, and sometimes we ask us, why do some people respond to Jesus and others don't? Is there something wrong with the farmer sowing the seed? That's Jesus. No, there's nothing wrong with that. Is there something wrong with the message, the word of God, the seed? No, there's nothing wrong with that. Is there something wrong with the soil, the hearers? Yes. Sometimes there's something wrong with that. There's no problem with a farmer. There's no problem with the seed. Sometimes there's a problem with the soil. Seed is the word of God, the gospel of the kingdom. Friends, this morning, as the soil of your heart has heard the word of God today, when you go home, ask yourself, what has been the response of my heart to his word? Today, this morning, last week, what I read at home in the scriptures, what has been my response? Answer that honestly, because that will give you a clear indication of the kind of soil that's in your heart. And I pray that as this over this coming week and as we come next week to look at the parable, that every one of us here will have hearts that are open, good soil, receptive soil, that in turn is productive soil for this wonderful message of the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, it is an awesome thing to have your written word. It's an amazing blessing, and it's an incredible responsibility. We have been given so much. And Lord, we know from your word that when we've been given so much, then also consequently, so much will be required of us. Lord, I suppose every one of us, along with myself, would confess this morning. Sometimes we have read your word, we've heard your word, And we've gone away and we haven't given it a second thought. It has been snatched away, literally snatched away. We find it quite hard to admit that's because our heart is hard. We find it hard to admit that. We blame it on many things. But Lord, sometimes that's just the truth of it. Our hearts are hard. But I thank you that you are a God of grace. And we are here this morning because we want to be here and we want to follow you. We want to be kingdom people. We want to understand more of the secrets of the kingdom. We want to understand what it means to live in this already, not yet, Lord, this period waiting for your return as the king that all eyes will see. But Lord, when you come, we don't want to be people who are found cold and hard and unresponsive. Lord, we want to be the ones who are looking upward, waiting, anxious for your arrival. Oh God, speak to us today. May the challenge that your word brings to us, may we not shove it to the side because it's uncomfortable for all of us. But Lord, may we take it to heart today. And if our hearts are cold and hard, I pray that we would make room even this day to spend time, Lord, in repentance and confession before you, because you always forgive. You always cleanse. Thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. And your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelim.com.